And so today, I know last week David said, we're going to start this series on spiritual gifts, and we are. But if we're going to make space for the Spirit to gift us, we have to understand what the Spirit's purpose is. Because the Holy Spirit is not a celestial Amazon cart, y'all. Like, sometimes we treat him that way. Matter of fact, sometimes too often we treat him that way. Like, all right, well, there you are, and when I need something, I'm going to log in, hit my app, and get what I need. And would you empower me for that? And that's dangerous. It's not fulfilling. It's not healthy. But in all of that, God was like, so you got to make space for the Holy Spirit to enjoy the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I've kind of blended two sermons together. We're going to get as far as we get today and then fill in next week because, you know, I'm not going to keep you guys for too crazy long. But I want us to understand that simplicity, the spiritual discipline of simplicity, matters. And it's tough to lean into. Some of y'all are like, simplicity. Like, is that, like, simplicity is, you know, simply living. Isn't that a magazine? Yes, it is. But that's not what we're after because that's just more stuff, right? Like, simplicity is tough today, spiritual simplicity, because the world is noisy and baubles are shiny and calendars are packed. And we're born into, I don't even want to say we live in, most of us have been born into a culture that teaches us to fill every empty space in our life with things and with doings and with noise. And the reality is those spaces were created for the Spirit of God to dwell, not to be crowded out by baubles and noise and doing. Are we good? So I want to equip us a little. I got one amen, but y'all are nodding and smiling, so I'm just going to keep it rolling. So I want to establish this reality that there is a space inside of us that was literally created for the Spirit of God to dwell. And some of y'all think that's a lot to take in. So I want to ground us in Scripture, and I want to invite you to read with me John 14, 16, and 17. This is Jesus, and he's preparing the disciples for him departing the earth in the physical sense. He's preparing them for his crucifixion, and he's telling them what's going to happen because he also knows that after the resurrection, he's only going to be here so long, and they weren't getting the crucifixion. They really weren't getting that he was going to again ascend. And so let's hear what his instructions were and what his comfort and reassurances were. Read with me, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. He lives with you, yes, but he will actually live in you, in me, in us as believers. We've been on this journey over the last several months of what kingdom life is all about. And it is the Spirit who dwells within us, our guide that God has given us to understand the kingdom, to lean into the kingdom, to be guided by the kingdom. And not just to be a guide that's over here saying, follow me, but a guide that actually indwells our hearts and from within says, go this way. I got you. Listen to me. Let me teach you. I'm getting ahead of myself. So I want us to understand that he's not just living around us and he's not just our neighbor. Actually going to read for you, and it's going to be up on the screen, but Romans 8:11. I'm going to flip over to the ESV. I don't go to this translation often, but they get the verb right here, and we'll talk about that in a minute. It says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now, most of our translations say lives. And I get that. Like, you could say, well, dwell and lives are the same thing. But I want us to understand the significance of the Greek and the Aramaic words dwell here. Because to dwell means, in that ancient language, right? Like, I'm not even going to today's definition because that doesn't teach us what the word was trying to say to us. It means to inhabit, to occupy, to be seated or enthroned. Catch that. Enthroned. To lodge, to unpack, and to nest. To be seated. The Holy Spirit isn't to be awkwardly standing around like at a party where you don't know what to do or who to talk to or where to stand. He's meant to be seated inside our hearts, to be enthroned. We don't like that. We don't want a king. Well, we want one king, guys. It's King Jesus, and King Jesus rules our hearts, should rule and have authority in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who should be enthroned, the only one with authority in our hearts. To nest is one of the directions. To set up residence. Let me ask, if you've ever been pregnant or lived with someone that's pregnant, raise your hand. I know there's more of you. Yeah, right? Some very, very fresh memories, right? Like, there's this thing that happens called nesting. And when a pregnant woman, speaking as a woman who was pregnant twice, when a pregnant woman gets into the nesting phase, it is this inexplicable need to declutter, to clean everything, to wipe away all the excess stuff that doesn't matter, and to prepare this space that is comforting and warm and welcoming and safe. That's the Holy Spirit's role inside of us, you guys. So that we enter the crazy fray of the world out there, we don't have to be disturbed and we don't have to be uneased and we don't have to be pulled from one side to the other. We can be at peace. We can be safe. We can be guided, because the Holy Spirit has space to not just hang out with or visit, but to dwell. Military people in the room know you have your home of record and then you have your home where you live. Like, for those of you who aren't military, which most of you have some experience with this, being military or being around us military crazy people, Speaking for myself. Your home of record is where you kind of either you come into or you go visit right before you come in, because you go visit a state where there's no state tax and then you claim that as your home of record and it stays that way for your whole career. Just saying, it's a loophole. I know. Not saying any of us ever did that. I actually grew up in Florida. I was legit. Way bunny trail. Let me get back to this. Your home of record is what is on paper. But then every station, duty station you go to, you set up a home where you live and where you reside. And church, I gotta tell us, we aren't to be a home of record for the Holy Spirit. We're to be the place he's actually comfortable dwelling and residing. He is not a house guest, and yet, too often we treat them like a house guest that's overstayed their welcome. He's our partner. He's our helper. You know, God created a woman to be man's helpmate. That helpmate, that is the same exact Hebrew word in the Old Testament that is used for the Holy Spirit. Right? If you didn't know that, it's the same word. So that should trash all your ideas of subservience. Anyway, just saying, because we sure, like the Holy Spirit sure isn't subservient to us. He's meant to have a place where he dwells, has authority, and creates a safe space for our hearts to deal with life and enter the fray of the world. And so I guess the first point that I need us, that I hope has solidified, that I'm just going to put a simple phrase to, is that when we accept Jesus, we become home for the Holy Spirit. Don't let that intimidate you. Let that thrill you. Because the Holy Spirit is for you. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us to bring resurrected life, y'all. Like David talked about last week, it's that life that we have. So are we okay? Like, are we good? I feel like that's a good starting point for us today. Like, that's the power that we have dwelling within us. But before we can talk about the power of the Spirit to bring spiritual gifts, we have to be practical and teach our hearts how to go from house to home. Which brings us to this simplicity discipline that we want to talk about throughout the month. Now, this is going to be the only sermon where we're going to really explain this, but we have a series of social media posts, a couple of emails. Y'all don't get that many emails from us. You'll be getting an email a week for the next couple weeks with just some practices of simplicity. But I want you to read with me this definition of spiritual simplicity. And I would ask that you pause and not just read words from the screen, but take in what this spiritual discipline, this spiritual practice is actually meant to do for you. So read this with me. Let's see. Yep, when we accept Jesus, we become home to the Holy Spirit. Before simplicity makes space for the Spirit to dwell in our hearts and lives, Jesus teaches us that freedom is not found in having and doing, but in keeping God and His will first in our hearts. Okay, that was not the slide I was expecting, which is not their fault. It's mine, in case you notice the hesitation in my voice. That is a quote that we have in the sermon, but there should be a simplicity. That's the one I'm looking for. All right. So tuck that away. We're going to hit that again in a minute. I won't make you reread that quote next time. But the spiritual discipline of simplicity is the intentional pursuit of an undivided life focused on God rather than on the accumulation of possessions, distractions, or excessive commitments. It involves decluttering both physical space and mental, emotional, and spiritual baggage to prioritize God's kingdom and deepen one's relationship with Him. If you'll leave that up for a minute, please, Kermit. Who could use some editing out of your life of possessions, distractions, and excessive commitments? Who could use some decluttering of our hearts and our calendars and our emotions? See, that's what the practice of simplicity is all about. And if that sounds self-helpish, and I know it can, it's my job to make sure we understand that that is not just some self-help thing that the church has come up with. It's grounded and founded in Jesus' own words. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. There are just some days I need to open my physical Bible, y'all. Jesus is talking. Like, this is him. And he says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Guys, first, understand, God isn't against us having nice stuff. Like, actually, if you follow God's prescription for how to handle your finances, y'all have some space for nice stuff. You also have a lot of space to be very generous, right? And God calls us to both. God isn't against you having nice stuff. God is against stuff having you. God is against us being enslaved to chasing material things. God is against us filling every time and moment of anxiety with a shopping trip or an Amazon virtual shopping trip, right? He's trying to free us from the burden of being governed by the need to have things. And when we treasure in our hearts what's not of the kingdom but worldly focus, that becomes in conflict with the kingdom. When we treasure in our hearts things that aren't what God would have us treasure, then I got to ask, how is the Spirit at home in that same heart? Have you ever been on vacation with someone or had someone visiting with you or been visiting with them and suddenly there's a disagreement? And what was an awesome trip suddenly becomes awkward and stilted? Nobody. I travel with my besties, so it doesn't happen very often. And my bestie. I'm not going to stand up here and fib. It happens, yep. So, like, when we are out of alignment with the Spirit, then suddenly the Spirit's not dwelling, he's residing, because he doesn't have authority. We've dethroned him. And so understanding that if we are focused on the treasures we can get, if we're focused on the stuff we have, then there's not room for the Spirit's voice or direction. Then it goes back. Can you go back to that simplicity slide? I mean, the Spirit's still here, but it's a tangled mess, and we don't see him clearly or hear him clearly because it's so cluttered and it's so full of all the things competing for our attention that we can't focus clearly on what God would say to us or how he would lead us. By the way, I don't know if you noticed, and I emphasized it a little when I read, it said, in heaven where thieves do not break in and steal. Like, this is a really cool promise. I think I have skipped past this a few times over the years. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but the enemy cannot steal what is stored up in heaven. I don't want to let that sit for a moment. Because if you're focused on treasures here, the enemy has all kinds of room to break into your life and steal your joy and steal your peace and steal your love and steal all your emotions and steal your safety and your security. He can do all of that. But when we store our treasures in heaven, when what we really value is aligned with kingdom, then the enemy can't touch that. It's not to say you won't have struggles, but his capacity to influence your life in the negative is significantly diminished. I already alluded to this. Culture teaches us, especially as women, like, I don't know. It's just how the media goes. It's just how the advertising goes. But it teaches us that when we're stressed out or we're having anxiety, we should either eat chocolate, drink wine, or go shopping. Now, guys, it teaches you to drink. It teaches you to go buy a sports car or to go drive fast. Like, I'm not saying, by the way, everything is open to everyone. It's just how the marketing campaigns tend to go, right? It teaches us to chase sex, to chase pornography. It teaches us to chase pleasures. When we're upset, go have it your way. It teaches us to go buy a terrible for you, I wouldn't even call it meat burger. Blech. Right? And God is saying, that is not, like, don't let that be your self-soothing. Like, we teach babies, if you want a peaceful night, like, you got to teach them to self-soothe. Not in the beginning, they aren't capable, but as they get a few months older, you got to teach them to self-soothe where they can settle and calm. The Holy Spirit dwells within us to soothe us in all those moments of anxiety and stress and not knowing what to do. And the world teaches us to go fill it some other way, and that just brings more stress and more anxiety. And so what I want us to understand is simplicity is an important practice, because the desire for things to fill those spaces clutters our heart. And our heart becomes that tangle all around the cross. So I want to ask, where in your life are things taking up space that was created for the Spirit? Like, you guys are going to have to let the Holy Spirit lead you in this sermon. What's he saying to you specifically? And what will you do to respond to it? Now, one more Jesus conversation on simplicity that I must share with you today. And I want to invite you to read with me Luke 10, 38 to 42. All right? We good? Ready with your big girl and boy voices? I know everybody's cold. It's okay. All right, read with me. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." All right, couple things. I've joked about this anytime I've talked about this passage, and I just can't not bring it up. Every time I read Martha, Martha, I hear the Brady Bunch, "Marsha, Marsha, Marsha," like God's having an attitude with this poor woman. And I want to remind us or teach us, if you don't already know this, whenever in these languages and in Hebrew culture, even in Middle Eastern culture today, whenever you say something twice, it is a deep reflection of compassion or like love in your heart for the thing you're speaking to. So I don't want us to hear, "Martha, Martha." When Jesus stood over and looked down at the city before he was about to be arrested, he didn't go, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem." He said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem." And in this, Jesus is not bashing this girl. He's not slamming her. He's saying, "Martha, Martha, listen to me, okay?" The other thing I want us to understand about this text is it is so much more than what I've heard it preached at times, which is just make sure you get your quiet time. Go sit with the Lord. Yeah, go sit with the Lord. But there's a lot more than that happening right here. Like, first, Jesus is overturning centuries of rules and traditions about women not being allowed to sit at the feet of the rabbi to learn, right? Like, that was the place of a student. And so Jesus is overturning these man-made traditions of women who have been dismissed from being told they can sit and learn and be students of the word. But in that, like, shift in history, don't miss the spiritual lesson here. Because it is about being at the feet, not just to have your quiet time and sit and stare at Jesus. That's important. We should fix our eyes on our Savior. But it's more. See, Martha allowed her responsibilities and her to-do list to take priority not only over being in his presence, but of studying his word, of learning how it was she was supposed to live, about learning the kingdom life so she could walk in freedom and in hope. She let her serving get in the way of her being discipled by the master. You know, Bridge, acronym, building relationships, intentional discipleship, generous engagement. Intentional discipleship isn't just about us discipling you, it's about us being discipled. And our first discipler is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit teaches us through the word of God. And so she let her serving get in the way of her being discipled by the Master Jesus. I got to tell you, Sunday mornings used to be the one day a week I felt like it was okay to not have my quiet time before before I went out into the world. Now, when you do your quiet time, when you do your study, everybody's got a personal best there, all right? Like, for some of us, if I don't go to the gym before I have my quiet time, I'm going to fall asleep in my Bible. Like, that's just how it works for me every day but Sunday. Some of you are new moms and new dads. Like, you got to fit it in where you can fit it in because there's a baby that needs to be taken care of and fed. Like, whatever your rhythm is, don't feel guilted about the rhythm. Like, Sabbath was made for man, not man for Sabbath. Like, we're not dictating a schedule here. We're dictating a priority here. And so anyway, I used to skip my devotion time because I get up at 4:30 on Sunday mornings and I spend 3 or 4 hours sitting with the message. And I'm like, God, you got my attention. I'm walking in my calling. Like, it's not like I'm not in the Word. I'm living, breathing the Word. I actually wrote in one of my journals, God, I'm bringing you the labor of my hands and my heart and the work of my calling. And the Holy Spirit's response to me was loving, but it was a Jen moment. You have to receive from me before you pour out for me. So this morning I stood up here and shared something from my devotions that happened at 4:30. Guys, we're always going to have things to do. Like, that's not like, go Jen, yay, she figured it out. Like, I've been a lead pastor for 8 years. I figured this out, 6 months ago. But it is to say that there's going to be all kinds of priorities competing for your time. And they're not bad. What Martha was doing wasn't bad at all. She was serving Jesus. But Jesus said, learning from me, being discipled by me is more important than what you do to serve me. What you do to serve me has to flow out of what you learn and take from me. How can the Holy Spirit lead us, encourage us, teach us if we don't ever go sit in his classroom? The desire to do all the time, fill every moment of our calendar. The desire to do clutters our time and doesn't make space for God. So I'm going to ask you to take a moment of reflection. What doing is crowding out the Spirit in your life? Where is your calendar too crowded? Now I'm going to go to that quote from the Disciplines book that we can put back up there. Jesus teaches us that freedom is not found in having and doing, but in keeping God and his will first in our hearts. And that's out of the Spiritual Disciplines Handbook written by Adele Calhoun. You'll be seeing some of the exercises that she has because it's a great book come to you in those emails that I talked about. Simplicity matters. Simplicity makes space. It takes away the tangle of stuff and doing, creating space for the Spirit to dwell and lead and guide our lives. And so what happens when the Spirit has a welcoming place to dwell? What's the big deal? Okay, so we get smarter about Jesus, right? Like, we know more scripture. No, see, you got to get the heart and the purpose. It's not about what we get out of it. It's about what God does in us. Romans 8, 5 to 9 says, those who live, going back to that Romans, like we anchored a verse there in the beginning, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The verse goes on to reiterate that the Spirit dwells in us and defines us. One of our other core values that that we hold very dear at Bridge is that freedom and equality in Christ is what should define us. The importance of our identity in Christ coming before any other identity we hold. And that's what this passage is saying. It's not that there aren't going to be other things. You're still going to be husband, wife, mom, dad, sister, brother, friend, worker, boss. You're still going to be all, you're still going to be captain or sergeant. You're still going to be all those things. But you got to be God's first. And when we are God's first, the Spirit leads us to life and to peace. I am actively shifting some stuff around because I don't have that much time left this morning. And I want to make sure I'm staying tuned in to exactly what is most important for me to share with you today. I do want to hit this phrase, our minds are set on, that we read in that passage. For our mind to be set on means a habitual or characteristic mental attitude that determines how you will interpret or respond to situations. By the way, that's a Greek definition, an ancient Greek definition for that word. It's pretty technical. Like, why would I pick that to be important? So as you process news stories and social media, as you process your emotions, what did it look like? What does it look like this week if our habitual characteristic, our mental aptitude in determining how we respond to every one of those situations is the Holy Spirit and life and peace? Hello, peace. Hello, joy. Hello, love. It's a new horizon. I'm going to echo the words. By the way, they don't see the sermons. Like, that's how the Holy Spirit lines stuff up, right? We got to quit turning to all the other spaces and places for answers to our problems. When we fill our minds and what governs us is reels and politics and news outlets and substances and what our friends think, what our non-Christian friends think about how we should handle a problem in our marriage, when we anchor ourselves in all of that, then we are being governed by the world where the enemy has plenty of room to steal, kill, and destroy us. But when we anchor on the Holy Spirit and he, three of the four things, Jesus says the Holy Spirit is tells us to set our minds on truth and that the Holy Spirit will teach us, remind us what was taught, help us understand, and give us revelation. Three of the four are anchored in the word we've already been given. Revelation is how the Holy Spirit will make it personal, rhema word in our life. So if we don't ever study the word, if we don't ever sit and study, then how will he remind us of what we don't know? How will he explain what we didn't read? How will he teach us to understand the word better? Peace, joy, hope, love. There are two more because there's two little verses to that. Two, and I can't see all six, but peace, love, hope, joy. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. I may have missed one, but that's what the fruits of the Spirit are. And that's what guides and governs us. And when we have that, then when the waves and everything and the noise is crazy out there, we can be firm. Not against the places. I told you 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, not I told you, the Holy Spirit said, no, you have to say this, and I wrestled with him because I want to get in your business like that. But, like, take Jesus into your politics. Go to your own party. The other party does not care what you have to say. Take Jesus into your problems. Take Jesus into your addiction. Take Jesus into your broken relationships. Take Jesus into the conflicts you're having. Take Jesus into, by goodness sake, take Jesus into your wallet and how you spend your money and pay your bills. Take Jesus there. Because he will shape every space and place you set your foot then with hope, peace, joy, love, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, and self-control. The Spirit leads to life and peace. There's some more, and I'm I'm going to move past a little bit. I think you guys will probably see a post from me on Tuesday. So check the Bridge Facebook and Instagram pages. Is it a page on Instagram? Probably not. I'm old. So anyway, I know. If you take notes, I want you to write down Galatians 5, 13 to 16. Spend some time there this week. I'm going to take us right to Galatians 5, 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Keeping in step means that he's setting the pace. In the military, we have something called a guide on. That's the person at the front corner of the formation. And that's who sets left, right, left. And you got to stay in step with the guide on. You got to stay in step with your platoon leader. You got to stay in step, all those things. Because when we're out of step, then we're out of sync and everything is messy and broken and disorderly. Y'all watch a parade and see when they're out of step, like the Boy Scouts or the new marching band or the young JROTC group, and they're out of step and like their heads are bobbling everywhere and everything's out of line and nothing's orderly. And you just love them because they're trying and they're learning. I was in marching band for like 7 years in high school and junior high and college. I cringe. We got to be in step with the Spirit, with our eyes on him. So I have to ask, who are you in step with? Like as you walk through your reflection today, because the goal is not that you heard some words, or maybe your only goal is that you didn't nod off during the sermon. That's fair. The heat's on and I talk a long time. It's okay. Like, but the goal is that your heart be transformed. So who are you in step with today? And if you're not in step with the Holy Spirit, then let me invite you to create some space for him, to begin to declutter your calendars and shed your materialism. Get rid of some stuff. Because when there's space for the Spirit to work and to guide and to govern, then all that chaos and noise becomes silence and peace and love. And by the way, then that creates space for him to safely endow us with gifts of the Spirit that we use appropriately. And we'll talk about that next week, because misappropriated gifts are bad news for us and for everybody around us. But see, God wants the same power that raised Christ from the dead to be at work in our lives and our hearts for our own freedom and for the freedom of a world that is in bondage. So, you guys doing okay? I feel like I was like, there's a couple things I got to hit, God. What are you telling me to say? And I haven't actually checked in on you in the last 10 minutes. Like, you doing okay? Okay. We'll keep focusing on simplicity throughout the month, even as we talk about the gifts of the Spirit next week and begin a Lenten series 2 weeks later, right? What does that look like? But I want us to anchor on it and recognize that, like, don't delete the email without reading it. And maybe do jump on the Bridge page and check out the social media posts, because the bottom line is this. Actually, you know what? I want you guys to read this with me. If you're able, stand up. If you're not, that's okay, but read this with me. God, did you set me up? Like, the enemy has no room to steal, kill, and destroy. We're going to give it 2 more seconds, and then I'm going to read it over you. All right, I'm going to declare this over you. A life of simplicity, free from clutter and the chaos of our world, helps us, allows us to keep in step with the Spirit. Ah, see? Say it with me. A life of simplicity, free from the clutter and chaos of the world, helps us keep in step with the Spirit.